Miami-Dade County will have a new mayor come November. What do you know about the two candidates? Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Miami-Dade was the hardest hit in Florida by COVID, and the county is still trying to fully reopen to get the economic engine ignited. Today on Sundial, we're hosting a one-hour debate between the two candidates for Miami-Dade mayor. They are County Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava.
They see that I'm a person who's dedicated my career to helping to lift up families and communities, create economic opportunities, jobs, access to health care.
And County Commissioner Esteban Bovo.
Day one, when I announced my candidacy, I wanted to make sure that county government was responsive to the taxpayer, and I wanted to make it accountable.
We're also joined by the Miami Herald's Doug Hanks. You can also follow the debate on a live stream on our Facebook page at WLRN Sundial. All of that today on the program. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. In just a couple of weeks, voters in Miami-Dade County will elect a new mayor. Early voting begins across the state's largest county today. Now, we're dedicating the full program to a debate with the candidates. They are County Commissioners Daniela Levine-Cava and County Commissioner Esteban Bovo, Steve Bovo. We're hosting this debate with the Miami Herald. Reporter Doug Hanks is with us as well, and we have been collecting your questions, some of which we're going to be posing to the candidates today. You can watch this debate live. We are live streaming on Facebook at WLRN Sundial, and you can pose your questions there as well. Joining me now again, let me introduce, they are Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava. Commissioner, welcome to the program. And I think we have you muted.
A pleasure to be with you.
There you go. And also Commissioner Steve Bovo. Commissioner, welcome.
Thank you, Louis. Good to see you. And hello to everybody listening to the program.
All right, let me lay out the rules. They are really simple. We have questions directed to each of you. We're going to keep the time, but we're not going to be very strict on it. I just want to make sure everybody gets a fair time. And you have time for a rebuttal if you'd like. But again, we're going to keep those short. Just keep in mind there's a lot of topics we're going to try to hit in this hour. Let's go ahead and begin. Commissioner Bovo, I want to start with you. On Friday, the United States recorded 70,000 new COVID-19 cases for the first time since July. The positivity rate remains below 5% threshold in Miami-Dade, but we saw over the summer how fast that number can change. Looking at the emergency orders that were put in place by the current mayor, Carlos Jimenez, once you become mayor, if you win, what will you do with those emergency orders? Would you put in place your own?
Well, thank you, Louis, for the question. And I think, we have to review what the mayor did and the information that he had at his disposal to make the decisions he made. I do think there are some fundamental flaws that happened where there was a very poor efforts to communicate with the different cities and administrators. I think that set a lot of confusion in our community, and I think that set us back a lot. We also need to understand that we had some rioting and demonstrations going on in our community and others that were acting irresponsibly. That also, the ones that were punished the most were business owners, restaurants, and I didn't agree with that. And I think as we move forward, once elected mayor, what I think is we need to do and what I will do is not only collaborate with the cities, the administrators, to come up with one game plan where we're united in our voices across the spectrum in Miami-Dade County, but we also start working with the businesses and the mom and pops, because the mom and pops are not the members of big chambers, in order to come up with plans that allow them to open safely, taking care of their customers, taking care of their patrons.
And just to make sure, again, if you become the mayor, if we start to see these numbers creep up, it sounds like you want to do things a little bit differently. But do you foresee at any point possibly having to go back to very strict, shutdown situation?
No, Louis, I'll tell you something. We need to come to the grips where we may have to live with this virus for another 6 months or a year. And I can tell you right now, this is not sustainable. We have many residents in our community that are pushing back hard against government's intrusion and telling them how to live. Now, does that mean that we not take care of our seniors? Of course not. We need to take care of folks that are most vulnerable in our community. But let's start letting people act responsibly. You could have the rules of the mask and the social distancing, but you can't put a hammer on them businesses where people that live in my community have been out without work now for 7 months.
Commissioner Levine Cava, I want to come to you. Say you win and you're the mayor come November. What do you do with those orders, and how do you view moving forward if the positivity rate starts to creep up again?
So, Lewis, thank you so much for having us on and for this critically important topic, number one, for all of us, because we know that number one is our health. So I'll be bringing in a chief medical officer to guide us through all of this. We need both our lives and our livelihoods, and it's a false dichotomy to pit one against the other. Unfortunately, we closed down too slowly, we opened up too quickly, we spiked, and the damage was huge to our business community and to our entire economy. So we need to proceed with facts and with science. And that to be said, I'm very concerned that some are actually talking about herd immunity, which is a disproven theory. And this idea of opening up and letting sort of the public just be on their own without the kind of guidance that we've had, hopefully when people are finally understanding the importance of masks. So any time that we let up in taking these simple measures and communicating clearly in coordination with our cities and coordination with the majority who definitely still recognize the virus is with us, then we are putting our businesses at risk once again. As we open, we must continue to take all these precautions and be guided by science.
And Commissioner Levine Cava, talking about businesses, Miami-Dade County has conceded that it can no longer enforce the midnight curfews for bars and restaurants and nightclubs. And this means that business can continue for them during this pandemic. How do you prevent the spread of COVID-19 in these kind of environments where you have crowded spaces with a lot of people?
Very difficult. Obviously, people late at night in bars are not necessarily wearing their masks. It's documented that if you speak loudly, then you're spewing more viral particles if you happen to be infected. This is a very dangerous situation. So people need to take the necessary precautions. Certainly, if you're more vulnerable, you're going to take more precautions. But even with that, you could be a carrier, asymptomatic. You could bring it home to more vulnerable people. And, we need to maintain our testing, our contact tracing, our isolation. These are all the methods that are recommended to contain the virus. And we must monitor extremely closely. As you say, it's inched up. Medical experts are predicting a bigger rise in November.
Yes. Commissioner Bovo, this happened because a strip club in Miami-Dade sued and won in court, but there is an appeal. Would you want to overturn this appeal?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I really don't care about the strip club, but what I do care about is that whatever rule that we put in place, we need to collaborate with the businesses in our community. I think that the community and the businesses, the small businesses, are probably better equipped of making sure that they take care of their patrons and their employees. I think they're better equipped. They have not been engaged in conversation short of the chambers. And I'm telling you, there's mom and pop operations, which I know many will just kind of discard as not important. But I'll tell you what, putting food on their table is essential to them.
And Commissioner, do you believe in the curfew?
No, I don't. I think the curfew is useless. Okay, to be honest with you, the virus doesn't take the night off. And Lewis, let me just finish making the point that I was making. You know, when you have folks in our community that have businesses and they've put all their livelihood into that business, government has reached in an unprecedented way and has squashed their activity. They have not been engaged. Now, you can hire all the medical experts you want. And by the way, that's what we have Jackson Hospital for. But we need to also engage people and allow them to act responsibly, for heaven's sakes.
All right. Again, we're listening to a live debate with Miami-Dade County Commissioners Steve Bovo and Daniela Levine Cava, both vying to be the next mayor of the county. We are live streaming this on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. Just find us on the Facebook page. Feel free to pose your question there. Again, we are hosting this debate with our news partners, the Miami Herald. And joining us now is Miami Herald reporter Doug Hanks.
Hi, Commissioner Bovo. With the Metro Rail system and the bus system being fare free right now, I know that the transit union is asking for fares to return. When would you return fares if you become mayor? When do you think it's time for riders to pay again?
Well, I think, Doug, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're going to go fare-free at least through the month of December, if I'm not mistaken. I know that we're using a lot of CARES money, and it's being used for some of these purposes. But, look, absolutely, at some point, we're going to have to go back to normal. And I keep posing that question, if we're going to have to live like this for 6 months, what's going to be the expectation? Now, I know what that does is put more emphasis on us to be able to put safety measures in our transit system so that we protect our drivers and our operators as well as the customers that are using it. And I think if you show folks that you're serious about safety, then I think you could start at least getting that system back up and moving as quickly as possible. But you got to have the safety measures in there because the customers are going to dictate to you. If they don't feel that the experience is going to be safe, they're not going to use the system.
Commissioner Lean Cava, do you have any a different opinion on whether or not fare should come back sooner? And also on that topic of safety, do you think that the county should spend the money to put police on patrols in the transit system?
Well, I do think that we are benefiting from the CARES money. It's specifically for transit, so it doesn't come out of our $500 million. So there's really no loss to any other program by utilizing those dollars. So I think we want to use them to the maximum extent possible. But there are also other ways that we could use that money, and we definitely want to be sure that we are taking the safety precautions. We were slow to give the PPE to our drivers. Now the buses are retrofitted with safety features. And as far as physical safety from crime, unfortunately, we had the terrible incidents in the Metro Mover. The security that we had was an outsourced company without a true police force. It's clear that we do need that right now, that there's unfortunately some people that are preying on riders, unfortunately. I mean, it's not a huge number of people, and we need to tamp down on it, and the police have stepped up. They are now the primary security force in our transit system on the trains.
All right. This question, by the way, I want to pose to both of you because, again, we've been collecting questions and comments from our listeners. So, again, I'm going to pose this question to both of you. But we heard from a transit worker at Miami International Airport. His name is James McKnight. And let's take a listen to what he said.
I'm a passenger service agent for Envoy Air. We're part of the American Airlines Group. I work at Miami International Airport. Before the pandemic, I worked at the largest economic engine for the state. So my question is, will you allow all employees who work at MIA have the opportunity to participate in the 1999 passage of the Living Wage Ordinance?
Commissioner Bova, I'll start with you. Your response to James.
Look, I do not believe that government should be interjecting itself in the relationship between employer and employee. And I'm not alone in that. The Board of County Commission have rejected that at this point. You know, it is obtrusive to be able to now, during this economic time where we want to recover and we want to open up businesses and get things back going, especially our tourism market, to then put another layer on those private entities. What would it lead to, quite honestly, is the dismissal of some of these folks. People will lose their jobs. And that's what the first thing I think we need to avoid. And, you know, we looked at it at the Board of County Commission. It did not move forward. It didn't get seconded. We never voted on it because I don't think now's the time to have that discussion.
Commissioner Levine Cava, your response to that.
Yeah, 20 years ago, I was one of the leaders in the fight for the first living wage ordinance in the southeastern United States as a citizen activist, not as a commissioner. I'm very proud that we have a strong living wage ordinance. Unfortunately, it doesn't cover all the people that it should. And I think that to the extent that government is providing benefits to companies or taxpayer dollars or taxpayer benefits, we don't want to create poverty jobs. We want to create living wage jobs. So I am in favor of that. And furthermore, the airlines have received huge amounts of money in subsidy, and the airports have received money as well. That money should go to assist our workers. One job should be enough.
I have some questions that have come in via Facebook and email. Commissioner Levine Cava, let me throw this one at you. This one from David Perry asks, what will you do to give rental relief and assistance to thousands of Miami residents facing eviction because of the pandemic?
Yes, we have about 3,000 or so in the pipeline as soon as the moratorium is lifted. And we know that there's various ways that landlords are able to get around it and go forward with evictions. And of course, they have their own expenses. We understand that people that own property, they have to pay their property taxes. They have to take care of the maintenance of the property. So we're all in this together. So fortunately, $500 million in CARES Fund, we did dedicate a good portion of it for rental assistance, which my opponent did vote against in the first vote. And then the mortgage assistance as well we've provided, but that money is fast running out. We are not spending all of the money on the programs we've designed. We have to spend it by the end of December. And I certainly am in favor of reprogramming for rental assistance. And also we need the federal government to continue and with their assistance.
Commissioner Bovo, she mentioned your name. You have the chance to respond to this, please.
Well, she lied when she mentioned my name because I didn't vote against it. What I made sure was that that money for renters was spread out throughout the entire county, because what we didn't want is to have people in District 13 not take the same benefits that somebody perhaps in District 1, 2, or 3 was having. So I didn't vote against it. I don't know why she's saying that. Perhaps she's just trying to mislead people. Look, this problem that we have with the backlog is problematic, and it's disingenuous for anybody saying that they're running for mayor is going to fix this problem. This was going to require federal, state participation. The county does not have all the resources. In fact, the county does not have the resources. What we can do, and then we need to insist, is those that have lost their jobs due to COVID, we need to try to encourage landlords to work with those tenants. And I think very strongly, again, open your economy. The quicker you open your economy, the quicker people could get back to work. The ripple effect on this renter situation is not just at the renter level. It's the mortgage holders, and the share. It's a big, big pie. And to expect that county government somehow is going to clean that up, it's a lie to folks. We should not give people that encouragement.
All right. Commissioner Levine Cava, I will give you 30 seconds because you want a rebuttal.
So, in fact, Commissioner Bovo did vote against this item. This was not the one that was not going to be spread out. It was spread out. The one that he wanted to spread out had to do with a small business program. It's been spread out. And guess what? It hasn't been used in every district, which is the problem of allocating it district by district. So just to be clear, he voted no on the first opportunity. But we need to bring our financial institutions to the table. They need to be part of solving this. Everybody needs to get together so we do not have a homeless crisis.
Okay.
Daniela, you don't get to make up your own facts, okay?
No, I didn't vote. Sir. Okay.
You don't get to make up your own
facts. We'll talk about misleading later.
Don't make up your own facts.
All right, I'm going to jump in.
Check it out.
We'll stop on that point. Again, we are hosting the 2020 Miami-Dade County Mayoral Debate. You're hearing from County Commissioner Steve Bovo and County Commissioner Daniela Levine Cava. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with more, change things up, talk about as many issues as we can today. Again, find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We're live streaming there. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN, this special broadcast. Again, today we are devoting the program to the 2020 Miami-Dade County Mayoral Debate. We're looking at the debate between our two commissioners, County Commissioners Daniela Levine Cava and County Commissioner Steve Bovo. We will have a new mayor, as our current mayor has term limited out and running for a different office. We're also joined by Doug Hanks of the Miami Herald, our news partners, in this debate, and I'm going to turn it over to him for this next question. Doug.
Okay, so the next question involves the police review panel, which is now law. It's now funded. Commissioner Bovo, you voted against it over the summer. What would you do as mayor, as sheriff, for the next 4 years if you're elected mayor, with a police review board in effect under your administration? You would be the one to launch it. Are you going to be enthusiastic about this, or are you going to discourage it from taking action?
No. I think the commission made a decision. I, as mayor, not only will support that decision, I'll work to make sure it's implemented and it's working in the best way possible. You know, what I would hope is that we don't allow it to turn into some sort of political apparatus just to justify itself. And I hope that the cases that it takes up are cases that will lead to better outcomes as far as our police is concerned. I hope it may lead to a better training manual for our police officers. And as mayor, absolutely, you need to work with it, make sure it's working to what the commission believes its intent and purpose is for.
And Commissioner Cabo, same question.
Well, obviously I was a sponsor of the legislation. I'm a firm supporter of it. I'm looking forward to moving forward, putting it into place. I think it will be a huge boon to communities that do lack trust in our police and will help to restore trust. I think it will turn out to be a win-win-win as well for the community and for the police.
So Commissioner Cobb, let me ask you, you would be the sheriff of the county. The police would report to you. When you say that the review panel would be good for people who have distrust of the county police, is that distrust justified, do you think, or is that not justified?
Look, Doug, we have racism in our society. We have racism in our country. Fortunately, we have not had the kind of George Floyd murder that happened in Milwaukee. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but what we are saying is that communities have, unfortunately, a history sometimes of fearing police because of what is perceived and has been disproportionate treatment, bias, targeting. And so there are communities that train their children, for example, not to trust the police. So, you know, we have to get past that. We have to find a way for the police to be trusted across communities so they can do their jobs. And that's what I think this will help us to do, along with enhancements to our policies. But to be clear, the current police training is state of the art. I have been extremely impressed. I had the chance to visit a couple of weeks ago with the Training Bureau and all the things that people talk about in terms of implicit bias and quick decision making. Our police training is oriented in that way. And that is, as a result, we are seeing good outcomes in our county police department.
So Commissioner Bova, what's your response to that? Is distrust of the Miami Dade police justified in some corners of the county?
There may be. I can't put myself into a situation where somebody might have that distrust of the police department. I will tell you, though, that our police department, I consider its training process probably one of the most progressive. I mean, this should be an example for the entire Southeast United States. You know, body cams, they banded chokeholds. They get training with the Circle of Brotherhood. I mean, who does that? You know, you take cadets to train with ex-felons on the way they operate in our community. You know, and I enjoy not just the wide support of the South Florida PBA, but of all the local FOP units, also Hispanic Police Officer Association. They know I got their back. I'm going to be working with them because I think everything starts with safety and security. If you create safety and security, you're going to create prosperous neighborhoods, and I'm committed to do that.
I wanted to move over and staying on this idea of policing, but also looking back on the protest that we saw over the summer. It led to Governor DeSantis now pushing a bill called Combating Violence, Disorder, and Looting in Law Enforcement Protection Act. Now, we don't know if it's going to pass. It'll come up possibly for this upcoming legislative session. It would put tougher penalties on destructive protesting, also people who disrupt traffic, and of course, any attacks on police. Again, just increasing the penalties. Commissioner Bovo, let me start with you. Do you believe that Miami-Dade County requires stricter penalties for protesters, considering what you saw over the summer?
Well, we need to be clear, Lewis, on what we're talking about. If you're talking about burning police cars, pelting cops with rocks from the overpass of I-95, looting in Bayside, if that's what you're referring to, then absolutely you need stronger message, because that is not legitimate protesting. That is violence. That is just plain old hate. Now, we've always had in this country a space for legitimate protest. And I, as mayor, would protect that to the day I die. That's what makes, that separates us from everybody else in the world, that ability to protest and demonstrate. But what we've seen here, and to fail to acknowledge that there are elements that have penetrated these legitimate movements of protest to turn them into violent, That is being blind to the fact of what's going on in our community. That's what we saw here. And by the way, that's what we've seen in other parts of the country. You know, elements that don't love this country are not interested in any kind of racial dialogue or justice. What they're interested in is the fundamental destruction of this country. And for those that don't come out to condemn it quickly, they're abetting this.
Commissioner Levine-Cobb, I'll give you a chance to respond briefly on this.
Well, across the country, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people marched peacefully in the streets. Obviously, there were incidents that had to be tamped down where there was violence, and we have controlled it quite well in Miami-Dade, even though there were a few unfortunate incidents. And our Miami-Dade County Police were the ones that assisted to make sure that the First Amendment right to free assembly, free speech was honored. This is a right that we treasure, that so many come to this country to seek and to be able to have those constitutional rights, and we should not allow anything that will inhibit that.
But
also protecting the safety, of course. Safety is first. We're not talking about safety, but we are talking about not inhibiting the right to freedom of assembly.
The other thing, I mean, I know, Commissioner, that you are in support of the, you were in support of the protest, but I'm wondering what you would say to, and I want to know the answer to the question, do you think that law is required? Because what would you say to those owners at Bayfront whose stores were damaged and some of the damages did occur?
Yeah, I think that we need to protect our property as well as our people. And I think that those store owners and people in their personal dwellings are entitled to the protection. I don't think there's anything in the current law that prohibits that. So I think it's an overreach. I am not at all persuaded that it's really anything more than a political statement.
Well, the problem is, you gotta be honest now, okay? When you go out to make sure you banter out there, no justice, no peace, and you go out there and, you know, want to kind of encourage, you know, this kind of activity, you know, this is a public leader now coming out almost energizing folks to start maybe acting out of control. And when you start seeing police cars go on fire. And like I said, I met the police officer that took a rock in the head, and thank God he had one of his riot helmets on, that many that speak about defunding police would like them to do away with it. It would have killed him. It would have killed him if he didn't have that helmet on. And that's something that as leaders, we need to, want to use the word tamper down? That's what you need to tamper down on.
Commissioner Levine-Cobb, you can respond.
So I really am surprised that my opponent seems to think that peaceful assembly is something that encourages violence. I mean, he comes from a family of patriots and people who fought for those very freedoms. And, you know, he calls me radical, but what's radical is wanting to curtail our very constitutional rights, to promote herd immunity and to promote people having to go to work even when they're sick in the middle of a pandemic. So, you know, let's just be really clear about this. Mitt Romney marched. Faith leaders marched. Were they all inciting
all right.
violence?
Wait, Louis, because that's kind of comical, and don't
okay.
mention my
point, I'm gonna,
that because what we saw here, if you encourage rioting, Mitt Romney was not out there telling all bads are bad people, and he wasn't telling us no justice, no peace.
Okay.
I know it's cool to do it on the left of the side of the ledger.
Let me stop.
And you need to do it to outbox Pinellas.
Let me stop. All right, Doug Hanks, you look like you wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask Commissioner Levine-Cobb, what do you mean by no justice, no peace? What's that mean to you?
Well, it means that people want peace and they want justice. They want them both. That's what people are asking for. They're saying they want to be treated fairly and they want to have peace.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they're out there rioting. In fact, hundreds of thousands marched peacefully.
Let me jump in just again because of time and a lot of things we want to cover. And again, we are keeping track of everybody's time to make sure that we keep this as fair as possible. Again, we're listening to the live debate of the Miami-Dade County mayoral race between County Commissioners Steve Bovo and Daniela Levine-Cobb. Again, we're also live streaming on Facebook on our Sundial page, so you could follow it there as well. Post your questions if you do have any. We have been collecting questions from everybody. Let me turn it back over to the Miami Herald's Doug Hanks.
All right. Next segment is on public safety. Commissioner Bovo, last year at a commission meeting, you said that when it comes to gun violence, there seems to be a common denominator, homes when there's no male presence. And you said there's no government that's going to fix that. What do you think your administration could do when it comes to gun violence in Miami-Dade?
Well, you invest in police, you invest in security and safety, you give folks in the neighborhoods confidence that the police is there to support them. Every dialogue I've had on the issue of gun violence in our communities, every single person, to a man or a woman, virtually could identify who pulled the trigger. Yet there is a fundamental disconnect in being able to come forward. They believe that the state attorney's office has failed them in their right or their pursuit to get justice. They believe that many times the police department also fails to protect them, perhaps their identity. And you know, we've had some legislation to try to talk about these issues to protect people's identity in our community. And that's problematic. But I want to be clear on something, because I know it's tried to be mentioned and it was really disingenuous when they tried to do it. There are multiple things that affect our communities, multiple things, okay? And I said, and I know that many might want to mock it, when you remove God from everything, you got to expect that there's going to be some consequences to that. And then on top of that, when you had in many instances, and it happens in my community too, I want to be clear on this, where you have the lack of a male figure, many of these young boys, this is how they get street credit. You know, they get a gun in their hands and that's how they get respect. And this is then the fundamental breakdown in our neighborhoods. It's all encompassing. You know, it's not one single issue. And I know this. Look, my sister's a single mom, and she has had to battle to make sure her two boys, you know, are always on the straight and narrow, because it is difficult. It is difficult. It's difficult for any parent to try to do that by
himself. What was God removed from, and where would you replace God?
Well, Doug, you follow our county government, for God's sakes. We have seen repeatedly folks try to move to either speak against anything that has to do with God in space. We've removed it from our schools. We've removed it from our public spaces. We've had to have votes on the county commission in order to simply place a sign in God we trust, or even to have prayer. Turns into 10-hour debates. You know, there's a fundamental move where people, you know, somehow or another find it a bad thing that the people of faith are involved in our government, and then they question, why is society in the place it's gotten to?
Okay. Commissioner Lee and Cava, you want to respond to that?
Well, we do have a God we trust, and we do pray regularly at commission meetings, and I voted in favor of In God We Trust, and I'm happy that we pray. So I'm not disputing the point that we have some modicum of acknowledgement of a higher spirit and power, but we do have still separation of church and state in this country, and it is not the role of county government to legislate religion. I, for example, am Jewish, and of course we have interdenominational prayer, which I appreciate. But you know, my opponent has just once again blamed single mothers for violence in the streets, which he disputed, but these are the very words that he is placing, saying that it's because there are fathers absent from these homes. We have people who are scared to death in these neighborhoods. This lack of trust in police goes back to they're not reporting when they know who is responsible for violence because they are fearful. So we have to do much, much more to do community policing, be foot soldiers, encourage trust. That is what we need to do. We also need to do gun tracing to find out where are these guns coming from, because many of them are illegally obtained, and we need to understand what are the sources and rid that. We also need to be able to make local laws that make sense, and we sued, the county sued the state to be able to do that, and so far, you know, we've been able to have some modicum of not being preempted entirely. But more importantly, we activated the police to do the background checks and the delays that were needed in gun shows, which had not been implemented for many years. So those were things that we could do locally to help to tamp down.
All right, because we have to move forward, I want to go to a listener question. We have this one. It's the issue tied to racial justice issues that we've been discussing, focusing on economic justice. Neighborhoods from Little Haiti to Little Havana are facing gentrification, and we know affordable housing is hard to come by. Let's listen to this question.
My name is Ulises Melendez, and my main concern is the lack of affordable housing in the county. It seems plainly clear that the piecemeal efforts of city and county leaders are insufficient to the task, and there's good evidence that some of those efforts may be discouraging construction and worsening the undersupply. How would your administration facilitate new development from a regulatory standpoint and stand up to the moneyed landowners who want politicians to protect their wealth?
Commissioner Bovo, I'll start with you in response to Mr. Melendez.
So, look, we need to look at a lot of the county land that we own and put that county line in play. We can do that by doing various things. Not only can we cut as much of the regulatory process as possible, we can work with developers to entice them to build more. We could give them more density. In exchange for that density, then we could go ahead and create the workforce and low-income housing that we desire in some of the areas. We could do that extensively in the corridors that we have identified through the SMART plan, which is the intersection of housing and transportation, could help us in many ways where we could get people to literally take the car out of their equation. So it has to be a combination. And also we have to understand that in many instances when we have projects that come, and supply and demand affect greatly the space here on housing, when we try to kill every project, and you know, commissioners have been on the record in many occasions, anything that comes that's infield, vote against it because the residents don't want it, that hurts our opportunity to create more supply. The more supply of housing in our community, the better we could address the issue of housing costs.
And Commissioner Levine-Cava, give you the chance to respond to Mr. Melendez's question.
Yeah, well, I think first of all, we have to acknowledge that there are so many disparities in our county and our community, and that there's a housing crisis, affordability crisis, with the greatest percentage of people spending more than 50% of their income on housing of any major metropolitan area. So we haven't treated it as a crisis, in my opinion, and as mayor, I will do so. And so first is acknowledging it. And as far as gentrification, yes, it is a real challenge. And that's why I changed the rules for community redevelopment agencies, that they cannot displace whatever number of units are there that are affordable. And if they build more housing, they have to set aside for affordable and workforce. So these are things that we need to come up with other policies that will create the income mix of affordability and not allow neighborhoods to be gentrified out of existence. Now, as far as what else we can do, we need to cut the permitting time. That saves money. We need to cut the production time by form building and other things that are working. That saves money. We need to use all of our county properties and deploy it rapidly for developers that can put those into production. And we need to do infill and increase density as well.
I need to jump in there. Again, we're having our 2020 mayoral debate here in Miami-Dade County between County Commissioner Steve Bovo and Daniela Levine-Cava. We're going to take our last break and come back, again, joined by Doug Hanks of the Miami Herald. And remember, you can follow this debate. We are live streaming on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Again, today we are hosting the 2020 Miami-Dade County mayoral debate between the two county commissioners, Daniela Levine-Cava and Steve Bovo. Again, you can follow us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We're live streaming this debate. I'm joined by Doug Hanks of the Miami Herald, and I'm going to turn it over to him for the next question. We're going to tackle, in a short time, environment and transportation. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, mine will be quick. Commissioner Cava, there's a vote tomorrow on the monorail proposal to Miami Beach. Are you a yes or are you a no?
Well, Doug, I've definitely communicated to everybody that I have very serious concerns. We have the city of Miami Beach that unanimously opposes moving forward so rapidly. Other concerns that have been expressed, I have spoken to the developers about ways that they need to be sure that we're getting a good deal, but I'm definitely inclining towards a no at this time.
Commissioner Bovo?
Doug, we'll spend our entire life talking about transportation in our community and make zero decision moving forward. We just grip in paralysis. There's no reason why something that has been talked about now probably for about 30 years, we can't move forward even an inch. And by the way, what we're going to be deciding on tomorrow is not a final project. It's just basically moving forward on something that could lead us to a final project and have public input. And unfortunately, in many instances, every substantial transit project in Miami-Dade County, my opponent votes no against it because it's easier to vote no than to vote yes and be able to defend the issues that we have in our community.
All right. So obviously, these are not good deals or I'd be voting yes. So, BRT was not the deal that was promised. It was not the deal that we could have move forward with federal support for moving incrementally in South Dade. I have voted in favor of many projects, including the Better Bus Project, including bringing new accordion buses to South Dade, including the 836 extension, the 836 bus special express lanes. So many, many projects that are good for the consumer, that are within their means, do make sense. But to give away $76 million to a private company for a station in Aventura that was not going to promote commuter service, it was going to be a $20 round trip fare, that was not a good deal for the taxpayers.
Well, the reality is that all these projects he's talking about is buses. And our community, I think, has already been very loud and clear that they'd like to have a different mode of transportation. But I think the South Corridor is a great example. Here's where her failure is paramount. Not only do we not get under her administration, not only do we not get the $100 million from the state, we don't get the $100 million from the federal government, and then nothing happens because we'll just sit and wait for, I don't know, magic dust to fall from the sky and build it. You know, in order for us to move on transportation, it's going to take many different things, federal, state money. It may take public-private partnerships. And by the way, it's expensive. Having transportation options is not cheap, it's expensive. We need to make the moves that we need to make. The folks in Aventura want it. So you can't go later on and hang your hat in Aventura and say, well, I'm bringing transportation, when you vote against these kind of projects.
Well, let's do this. I want to jump in and ask each of you in a short answer, and I know it's a big question, but what do you make your priority when it comes to transportation? Steve Bovo, I'm going to start with you. If you win, what's your priority?
Well, my priority is very simple. We need to fulfill the visions of the SMART plan, and we need to do that in housing at the same time. It's a merger. We need to energize TODs, simply something like we've seen at Dadeland, where the west of the station, we've seen some growth, apartments. One of my colleagues, Commissioner Moss, has said he'd like to see more Daylands down the South Corridor all the way into Florida City. There's no reason why we can't do that and replicate that model in many instances. And I would tell you, if we don't solve this issue of transportation, we're not going to be able to bring the Amazons and Googles of tomorrow. We need to solve this in order to diversify our economy. And by the way, doing that also energizes our economy, because you're going to have a lot of jobs that are going to come in, and a lot of construction work also.
Commissioner Levine Cava, what's your priority, transportation-wise?
Well, we definitely need to move forward the things that are ready to move forward. We're going to have an express bus on I-95 going over to Miami Beach to serve the hotels and the workers there. That's going to be critical with FDOT support. We need to move forward on the greater frequency of the most popular bus routes. And, you know, let's not make fun of people who are dependent on transit. This is what people ride to work every single day. People need improved bus service. But let's just be sure we're not rushing something so it can be on someone's resume as they leave County Hall. That's what's happening with the beach project right now. Everyone's in a big rush, hurry, hurry, against the wishes of the receiving city. So this is not something that needs to move forward without that kind of input.
All right. Doug, I'll throw it over to you. I know we've got some listener questions that have come in.
Well, so what's the next listener question on this topic?
All right. I believe that we've got one from Lynette Cardock. I hope I'm saying that right. She wants to know, how will you prioritize spending when infrastructure improvements are greatly needed for the health of the Biscayne Bay and revenues are down due to the pandemic? Commissioner Bovo, the questions of the upcoming budget.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I understood the question, but I did hear infrastructure and Bay. And look, I think one of the things that we're going to have to work on, and we're going to, again, need to rely on the state, maybe even the federal government, is how do we address the issues of septic tanks in our community? We know we're going to have to work toward a goal of not allowing any more septic tanks, perhaps only in areas that there is no sewer connectivity. And then we're also going to have to work with residents and try to make sure that we could get the connectivity to them so that they could connect, and then try to help them figure out ways on how they could, you know, spread out those payments over a cost over a period of time. This is expensive. And, you know, we've heard estimates as high as $3 billion in order to address this issue. But I think it's a quality of life issue, quite honestly, throughout our entire community. You know, a dead bay doesn't promote development and more economic opportunities, on the contrary. And I think we've got a responsibility of future generations to address these issues. But I think we could do it in a way, like I said, maybe with some state help, maybe even as the bill from Senator Diaz and Representative Avila called for, liberalizing some of that tourist money to be able to use specifically for infrastructure projects.
Okay. Again, just a reminder that we are hosting the 2020 Miami-Dade County mayoral debate between Commissioner Steve Bovo and Commissioner Daniela Levine Cava. Let's see. We're going to try to squeeze in another transportation question here. And again, I'm going to turn it over to Doug Hanks.
Okay. One of the big controversies under Mayor Jimenez has been the 836 extension, the Kendall Parkway, as it's been branded. Commissioner Bovo, you're for it. Commissioner Levine Cava, you're against it. Commissioner Levine Cava, what do you say to the residents in West Kendall who say, we really want this, we need this, we're not served by mass transit? What's your message to them as an incoming mayor if you win?
Yes. Well, many who've taken the time to really look at the studies recognize that it is not going to provide the relief that was promised. It's another empty promise. And what we need is good transit. So we have the Kendall Corridor, which we're going to have to move forward with something that will be really desirable. My preference would be reversible lane in the center, downtown in the morning, back in the evening. That would have prioritization with the traffic lights so that you would not be stuck in traffic along with the cars. This would be a game changer for people in Kendall. This 836 toll road extension was going to cost people more. It was going to save maybe 6 minutes. It was going to unfortunately spur more development. They came up with some pretty ways of saying that it wouldn't, but a board could easily override those restrictions. And developers had come to me at the outset and said, you know, that they're looking forward to being able to build further west, just compounding the problem that has been created by that wanton development that was not checked prior to my service on the commission.
Commissioner Bevel, what's your response to that? Is there anything wrong with more development along a new highway? And why is that highway needed for Miami-Dade County?
Look, I don't think we need to. And I, you know, supported the legislation that doesn't take more development to that area. That, you know, that's the product of what's been done wrong in the county now for the last 40 years, where you've allowed development to continue to encroach west without any viable transit route. And that's why you found yourself into this situation. And what I've been working on is that any transit component, whether it's highway or not, has to have a rapid transit component baked into it. And that's exactly what we did. We made sure that we put not only a train style station, but a corridor that could either accommodate bus at the beginning with a graduation of rail. But look, let's make no mistake, the people out there want relief. And they've been asking for relief. And to be honest with you, you know, to try to come up with some gimmicky type situation on the corridor Kendall, I can tell you exactly what the people out there are going to say. I grew up, I went to high school out in Kendall. We don't want it. We don't want it. If you take away a lane of car, you're going to create more of a problem than solve any issue. And unfortunately, perhaps one of the only solutions up to that Kendall area may be elevated. And we already know it's $100 to $120 million of construction cost alone just to get elevated rail. That's not operation and maintenance. That makes it problematic.
Just to be very clear, it was not about taking out a lane of traffic. It was a center using the median strip. That's very clear. That's what's been directed by Eileen Boucle, the head of the TPO. That's what we've discussed. And by the way, the North Corridor is also the priority that needs to move forward, and we're getting the bids right now.
Let me finish with this because of time. I'm going to give each of you basically what's a closing statement here. But if you win, what is your priority, the first thing you're doing once you get into office? Since I started with Commissioner Bovo, I'm going to let Commissioner Cava have the last word. Commissioner Bovo, what do you start with? How do you begin?
Well, I think the first thing you start is working on making sure that our economy starts to function again. You need to work with small businesses. And to do that, you have to work with all the cities, all the administrators, and get on one page. You can't have conflicting messages to Hialeah and then different things to Homestead and the city of Miami. We've got to be all on one page, and we got to have a vision of trying to get our economy back up and functioning. We've got to help our tourist industry, which has been ravaged right now. Many are without work that live off that tourism industry. And if we've learned any lesson from COVID, is that we also need to figure out how do we diversify our economy, at least to get other kinds of jobs in here. And I think all these are all together. And I think the way we do that is that we respect what the taxpayer expects out of us. For far too long, our county government has grown to the point where the core services that we need to provide as county government, we start to fail. Police, fire, you know, water, sewer, garbage, paper. These are the fundamental chores that we've been tasked. Quality of life issues, we need to complete on those.
And everybody's getting a minute. I'm being fair. Danilo Vinkava, the same to you as well. First thing you do when you're in office.
Well, we do have to rehabilitate our economy. Clearly, that's the most important, and we're facing, unfortunately, a continuing spiral. But we can't do that by ignoring our health. And I'm very, very concerned that my opponent won't lead with science. He's already said pretty much leave people to their own and just take care of the seniors and elders. That's a herd mentality position and very dangerous. So we have to get hold of our health and support our businesses. And we can do that not only by providing technical assistance to our small businesses. We have a revolving loan fund. We need to make it permanent, bring private sector dollars to the table to match it. We need to get these infrastructure projects in the ground. We've delayed them, our federal dollars. This is the time to build that housing that is missing, build those transit systems that have been waiting for so long, build the water and sewer infrastructure that's been leaking, and the septic systems. That's how we'll rebuild the economy.
And I'll have to stop it on that note. Again, it is the 2020 mayoral debate we've been having today with County Commissioners Steve Bovo and Daniela Levine-Cava. Again, a reminder, early voting begins today across Miami-Dade County. If you have a mail-in ballot, make sure that you've signed the back of that envelope and that the signature matches the one that's on file. Commissioners Levine-Cava, Commissioners Bovo, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. And
thank
also,
you so much.
Also, I want to thank Doug Hanks of the Miami Herald. Really do appreciate your time as well. Thanks for the help. All right. And that is our program for this Monday, October 19th. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to remember the 2000 presidential election. Remember that one? We're going to go back in time and remember what happened here in Miami-Dade County with the votes. A new film is out called 537 Votes by Billy Corbin. Also, we're going to take a conversation with our author of the Sundial Book Club for October, which is In the Land of Good Living. All of that coming up tomorrow on the program. Again, thanks so much for listening and sharing with us. You can find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. I'm Luis Hernandez. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.